I lost battery power just as we were singing that song. We're studying the time Jesus spent with his disciples in that upper room just hours before he would be led away and put on a cross. There was an occasion when he has told us where Judas will go and what he will do, and he's even already told us that Peter will deny him, Peter willing to die for him. He says, Peter, you're going to deny me just in a few short hours. And he must have seen or knew what they needed on that occasion. And I think that message is something we too can benefit from today. I did a research. Google lets you do it very quickly. USA Today, 20% of American adults take at least one drug for conditions of anxiety or depression, including one in four women. My guess is if they did something of the last 2 years, the numbers would be a little higher. The Anxiety and Depression Association of America reports that anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting 40 million adults ages 18 and older, which represents around 18% of our population. And these don't include the pandemic. These don't include preschool children who were forced to be inside, to go through very awkward learning circumstances. Needless to say, it affected all adults and especially teachers. There are times when we look around us and we just are amazed at what's happening. And the natural response would be to be troubled about it, to use John 14's terms, just a very troubling time that we live in now. I saw something on the internet a number of months ago, and it was there several years earlier, apparently, and it basically encouraged us to realize that God is at work, and God is there when we go through whatever the circumstances are in our life. And the intent of the rather long article on Facebook shared by many, many people was addressing the concerns we have for our children, for our young people. And it made a long list over a period of different times of our American life when teenagers and younger people went through difficult times. And look what it's made us. Look at yourself in the mirror. Whatever circumstances you've gone through, if you're sitting in this building continuing to believe in God and trust in Him, that's the key word, to trust in Him, the troubling moments may still be there in our past. They may be present in our present. But the reality is we can be different than what they might normally bring upon us. And the Facebook article brought great encouragement to those who read it. They felt there was hope for their family, for their children, for our country. Jesus has said some things in John 14, verse 29. I've told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. He says that three times in those closing moments in that upper room. And he's telling them, you don't understand it now, but I'm telling you now, so when it happens, you'll remember that I told you it's going to happen. And it would bring them back to their mental ascensions, if you will. Their emotions would be stayed because they would realize, wait a minute, this wasn't a surprise. Jesus told us these things were going to happen. And he even told us three times, duh, why didn't I get it then? But I get it now. He told me these things so that when they happen, not these words, but these are the import behind the words, you would know that I'm in control. You would know this wasn't a surprise. I'm not going to rush through John 14 and 15 and 16. I want us to spend time with Jesus. I want us to fall in love with Jesus all again. And I want us this morning to hear Jesus give these 11 men, Judas had already been dismissed, what Jesus gives these 11 men, knowing full well that very soon they will run away. They won't be very faithful for a moment of time, but eventually these men would die for the cause of Christ. They would be everything that he needed them to be. They would be very different than what they would now display to him. He must have seen their faces. We don't believe they understood a lot of it, especially not getting it that Judas Iscariot was not leaving to go buy food or to buy preparations for the feast. He had just been told, and he showed them very vividly, who is the one that's going to betray me? But as Judas leaves, and John tells us their misunderstanding about why he was leaving, he knew what they needed to hear. I believe he's giving us what we need to hear today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I looked at seven different texts to see what they said. They were pretty much evenly divided. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Or trust in God, trust also in me. One of our students, one of our good students on Wednesday night, has shared renderings from our studies from the Amplified Bible. With his example, I looked on my computer, the software Bible program I use, and I asked it to show me the Amplified Bible version. And this is it. It gives you the text, but it gives you an explanation, if you will, a rendering to help explain. Do not let your hearts be troubled, in brackets, afraid, cowardly. Believe confidently in God and trust in me. Have faith, hold on to it, rely on it, keep going on. Believe also in me. I like the emphasis. I like the rendering that forces us to maybe accept it and then follow it. Most of you have heard me say from time to time that I was a sports writer for 12 years of my life, full or part-time. I enjoy that dynamic. I enjoy that assembly of people and what they're trying to do together. I saw something this week that I would have noticed otherwise, but it caught my attention, especially having prepared to deliver this presentation today. Only verse 1, trust in me. And that trust is based upon what you're going through and transferring your emotional and intellectual response to it and act differently than the circumstances might cause you to act. And I saw a football team. And I saw a football team that had been upset last week. And the coach said this all week. They reported it for us. It was loudly proclaimed. And the coach was going as they were getting ready for this next important event. And they won, by the way, yesterday. And he said to them, trust your training. Trust your training. Trust your training. Over and over and over to those young athletes. In principle, Jesus is saying to them, remember what you've seen and heard. Remember that thing and don't let the life circumstances cause you to be discouraged. Choose the better option that you have. And the option will be there only as you remember those things and believing them and trusting them. Your life will be different. We often ask congregations, are you thinking you're the only one going through a very difficult week? Are you the only one in this assembly that's concerned gravely about your teenagers, about the economics of your job situations? The list could be 30 long very quickly. And the reality is, and our remembrance, as we would be asked to remember and think about those things, is no, it's not true. All of us coming here needing an encouragement to believe and trust our training as younger or older Christians. Whatever we've heard, put it into action. Whatever we've wanted to do, here's the time. One of the speakers yesterday at the men's retreat to stand up. Jesus didn't say it, but he inferred it. This is the time to stand up, not being troubled, but trusting, believing. Believe your training, or trust your training, if we could. What's interesting, there are so many times where intellectually we do know what we would say as far as what we should do. It's difficult to put into practice all the things we know. What makes it easier is our belief in that. Our maturity tells us this is really the best of the choices. Maturity comes into the question. Our maturity tells me this is troubling. How am I going to get through this? What do I tell the family? How am I going to act so that I will be faithful to the God of heaven as a believer, as a member of the body of Christ, and so I can make the difference of light and salt and leaven in this world? Don't be troubled, he will say to us tomorrow morning and Thursday afternoon. Trust in me. Trust in me. It's interesting when you think about it, what Jesus was about to go through. He had already told them that he turned resolutely, Luke's account, and headed toward Jerusalem. He passed the Rubicon, if you apply it to war principles, and he went to Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen. The word heart, let not your hearts be troubled, is the word cardia. And it's seen in most circumstances, certainly in Jesus' circumstances, that the cardia is the heart of human volition or will. It's not as much emotions in Scripture. It has more to do with the decision of the will. And what he's saying is, you make the willful decision to govern your emotional response, your heart response, to do what you determine is God's will, to say it in that application, but do it according to what you want to do. It's a decision. It's a decision of the will. And the authors, in talking about this, if Christ is raised, nothing else matters. If Christ is not raised, nothing matters. And there's a point to where that affects everything we are and affects everything we think about, and it affects every decision that we want to accomplish in our world. Don't let your cardia, your heart, your willfulness be distracted. Rather, point it to trust or to believe. I thought quickly of some times in Scripture God asked for trust in him. Moses trusted God to deliver the Israelites at the Red Sea. Joseph trusted God when he languished in Pharaoh's prison. David trusted God for a victory when he was facing that 9-foot-plus giant, Goliath. Jonah trusted God to answer his prayer when he was in the belly of that prepared fish. Peter and John were asked to trust in God, and they did when they stood before the Sanhedrin and gave their defense for their Christian faith, knowing that their leader, their Savior, their Messiah, their Lord had been crucified. Perhaps wondering, what is my fate? and they would have a similar fate, but not necessarily knowing when, and yet being very courageous, certainly not cowardly, as they made their declarations before the evil actions and intent of men. There are times when we watch television, I have really got to where I mute all commercials. I'm going to put in a plug for YouTube TV. It's the cheapest way to get on the internet through your TV, the most channels. It's about $65. You can't beat it anywhere. But I have the ability to tell it to record something, and I will come in about 15 minutes after it begins, and then I can go forward when the commercials come on, at least for part of the time, and not have to put up with them or see them. By the way, the new Dr. Pepper commercial is worth watching over and over and over again. College football fans, you've seen it already, probably 30 times in two weekends. It's worth watching. I'm waiting every time for the ending of it. It's wonderful. Most commercials, though, are giving you a quick fix. Those related to pain, quick answer and ending to pain. This is the one. Better than this and this. This one takes care of the pain. And that's important if you need something to take care of your physical pain. Fast relief. Fast relief. Jesus is telling them, you're going to have circumstances, and what I've told you may begin those circumstances where life presents for you a troubling reality. Past, present, and certainly in the future. Peter, you say you're willing to die for me. Yes, you are. Yes, you will. And a time will come when they will guide you. People will be guiding you up to a cross, ready to put you on a cross, and you're going to say, I want nothing that resembles my Savior, and you will ask them to crucify you upside down. And yet he was courageous, and he did everything required of him. But it began with the acknowledgement that what I'm telling you is troubling and how you must respond not only now before it's happening, but you've got to make the mental decision when these things get worse, this is how I want to respond, with trust, with confidence, with belief. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I like circumstances that force me to admit, what choice do I have? Do you? You get the worst news, disease, unemployment, a sickness of relatives, difficulty, whatever it may be. What choice do we have that's better than giving it to God, taking a deep breath, letting your shoulders relax, and that's when you fully relax and say, I don't have a choice. But we do make that choice. Some people don't have a choice, and that's why 1 in 4 and 18% of Americans need all of these drugs to get through the next few moments of their life. We don't feel as if we have a choice, and yet we do trust in God. Trust also in me. It sounds superficial. I'm going to acknowledge it. It sounds like it's a quick fix to emotional pain. I'll acknowledge that. But there are times when even death comes into our lives in some form. And because they trusted in God and because they believed and trusted in Christ, we can say that they're better off where they are. We know there's an eternity. We know there's a reckoning from this world. We know that there's an answer that helps us to know this isn't what we would have chosen. We wanted the sickness or the circumstances to come out very, very different. But we knew the possibility, in some cases, the certainty, and it's really better this way. I've said it to families over the years. You know they're no longer in the pain that they've been in for a number of years. You know their suffering has ended. You know they're in a better place, right? Yes. And we know there's still pain and sorrow on this side of eternity. And there's an emptiness that will always be there, similar to what we read as we begin our class this morning about a man who wrote a book about the loss of a son. But things will be better. I have grown more bold over the years, I suppose, because I believe it's to be true. I said it first publicly in my mind at the death of my dad 25 years ago now. It's selfish of us to wish them back. It's selfish of us to wish them back into this world. His case, diabetic, already losing the use of his lower limbs, great nerve damage, probably if he'd lived two or three more years, needing both of his lower limbs taken care of in the most drastic of ways. They're better off because they trusted God and they trust also in me, Jesus Christ. I'm working on a sermon now just to give you a prelude. Jesus is going to say in just a few verses that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. And I'm asking you the question, is God inclusive or exclusive? Does he want people in heaven or not? And yet he gives us something that there is no middle ground in it. But it begins with trust in me as you've trusted also in God. And based on that beginning, that foundation, he says things to them that we too need to follow as we believe them and as we put them into practice. Let me just say again, it matters what you do with Jesus Christ. It matters what you do with God of heaven and earth. There is a reckoning. Believe in God, trust in God, trust, believe also in me, he says to each of us. Webster's, basic dependence on someone or something, belief that something will happen or someone will act in a prescribed way. Trust is found in the unswerving belief that the God of heaven and earth will indeed work on our behalf to bring his perfect will for our lives into being. To say it more succinctly of what he was trying to say to them. Proverbs 3, as we begin to close. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. A metaphor suggesting that no, it's not like the stairs of the S-curve going in and out of parts of San Francisco. It's not going to change the geographical order or direction of paths of life, but it's going to make them straighter as we deal with them in a metaphorical way. Our paths will be clearer, straighter, if you will. Trust, leaning not on ourselves. Why would we ever do that? Why do we think we have all the answers? Why do we think we have any of the answers when compared to God and Christ? Why do we think we have any of the answers as far as the troubling times of our life? The question, of course, is, do you trust me? God asked that question of us this morning, and Jesus inferred it in his comments. Psalm 9:9, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Yahweh, the word there, have never forsaken those who seek you. And I ask the question, if this is true, I believe it is, you do too, probably, why do we seek others' advice? Why do we lean on ourselves? Why do we seek others' advice when he rewards those who seek him? The reality is we sometimes forget We will go through a difficult week, sometimes only a day, to our credit. Something has happened. It's upsetting us. We will let too much time pass by. We'll be in mental anguish. We'll shed tears. We'll pray prayers. But we kind of half-heartedly do it because we're still trying to figure out what we need to do, how we can solve this. And finally, we come to the conclusion, why am I waiting to give this to God? Why am I waiting? Why would I wait 10 more seconds when life's troubles are deadly in front of me? Trust in me as you trust in God, and don't be troubled, Jesus says to us today. A poem, once my hands were always trying hard to do my best. Now my heart is sweetly trusting, and my soul is all at rest. Once my brain was always planning, and my heart with cares oppressed. Now I trust the Lord to lead me, and my life is all at rest. Once my life was full of effort, now 'tis full of joy and zest. Since I took his yoke upon me, Jesus gives to me his rest. And that's his promise. Take my yoke upon you. Those who are weak and weary, lean on me. Give it to me. And the result is worth praying for, right? It's worth living for. And better than all of that, is worth dying for. A peace here that passes all understanding and goes to that prepared place for that prepared person. Guess what next week's lesson is? John 14, verses 2 through 4. This morning, listen to what Jesus is saying through these circumstances. Look at life and respond better by trusting those who can have control and bring about results and provide the peace that we want so desperately. Are you ready to trust, ready to believe, willfully living for him? That's the question as we stand and sing.